And then the coffee pots, some of them were granite that I remember. Now, I don't know whether they used a...
They had granite dish pans, too.
Yes.
And I know Mother always complained about that granite, and she used to use that in making peach butter.
Mm-hmm, but if they ever chipped, you know,
off,
well then...
And she was complaining about it. She never did like them.
Have to find the chip. Yeah.
Yes, you'd have to...
In later years, we had, I guess it's about a 50 gallon, I expect, that thing to hold, a copper kettle to cook outside,
cook
the butter in. Maybe 30 gallon would be better safe.
And of course, they have the big iron kettles that they made their soap, you know, out of the...
Soap and rendered lard.
Yes, in these big iron kettles outside that they build a fire under.
All of that kind of work was done outside rather than inside.
And you know, when you were asking what they milked in, you know, so many people used to... You remember how much molasses, gallon cans of molasses,
yes,
and syrup that were used, and they used these gallon cans too.
We always milked in just a water pail.
And that was a tin, usually,
yes,
wasn't it?
Tin, and stored cream and milk in those tins.
Oh.
Water trough. Out at the windmills, you had your milk trough. I mentioned about a while ago about putting your milk and butter down the well on a rope.
Mm-hmm.
And also, some of them had water troughs where the windmill pumped the water through and kept it in that.
What'd you put your milk and butter in to get it down there?
In these tins
and pails, and then you let it down on a rope into the wells that they had. My aunt and uncle had they drew their water, you know, by pail,
yes,
out of a well. And then they just, with a rope, you know, where there's a bucket on each end, isn't there?
Yes. You leave one bucket, pull one bucket up, and the other one go down.
Goes down. And so then they put the butter and the milk in these pails and let it down into the water, see, or almost to the water, where it was cool enough to keep for a short while.
Your syrup and your cottolene, cottolene was a mixture of lard and cottonseed oil. And those pails come with a lid on, and that's the ones we used for milk.
And then in canning fruit, of course, we had these sandhill plums, and that was about all we had except dried fruit. And my mother canned in those, and then she canned in these gallon pails that syrup came in, and then take sealing wax, see?
Yes.
Put it all around the lid to seal it tight, and it kept. As a rule, nearly always kept.
Out here, we was on that river bottom, had quite a lot of fruit, and we got one of these home canning machines, a can of that. You either use sealing wax or solder. Solder is quite a bit of our own canning.
Did you folks dry fruit?
Just very little. That was way back. Mm. I don't remember too much about dried fruit.
Well, my mother dried corn.
Dried corn and dried these sandhill plums.
Yes. Harry, my husband's mother, they were in Nebraska, but she dried corn.
That's good, isn't it?
It's really good. But they had to put mosquito netting over it, you see,
yes,
because of the flies and that.
Even dried meat back in the early days.
Oh, no, we didn't ever do that.
Just one or two times we did.
Oh.
To kill that beef late in the fall and then just string that meat on strings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they kept flies, I can't remember.
They cut it in little strips?
Strips. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the Indians do that chant.
Yes,
if you... We have been by places where there were a lot of Indians and they had meat drying. They hung it on.
Not yet. Today, how in the world do you keep the flies out of that?
Well, I don't know.
They don't.
Well, it may not.
And then they used to fry down their meat a lot when you butcher, you know.
Yes, we've done a lot of that, frying down. I didn't like it, but we fried it down and then pour